week ago, I had my sermon all ready to go for tonight, and it changed. So I'm not preaching on God with us. I'm going to be preaching on the subject of the Lamb of God. And the text for tonight has been read already, Luke 2, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. But I want to fast forward and go 30 years into Christ's life, where he is now beginning his ministry. And John the Baptist sees him coming. We read this in John 1:29. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I was wondering, why did John the Baptist call Jesus the Lamb of God? Why wasn't it the King of Kings or the Son of God? So many names. The Lamb of God. So that's a question we want to explore tonight and find the answer. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, this announcement of John the Baptist parallels what we read in Luke chapter 2, Luke's account of the night in which Jesus was born. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. What did the shepherds say to Mary and Joseph? Well, what they had just heard. And what did they just hear? Well, they heard the good news that, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." They brought this good news that was given to them from the angels to Mary and Joseph when they went to see Jesus. Interesting, the shepherds were the first to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in a way, in a minute, I'll explain why that is so significant. But back to the question, why did John the Baptist call Jesus the Lamb of God? Why did he then say that this Lamb of God came to take away the sin of the world? And how could a Lamb of God do that? Take away the sins of the world? Well, just as God had revealed the good news of the Savior's birth to the shepherds, God revealed to John the Baptist through his Holy Spirit that the one he saw coming was the Savior, the one who had been foretold in the Old Testament, in the law and in the prophets. John the Baptist knew the law. He was a prophet, last of the Old Testament prophets. He knew that animal sacrifices were found in the Old Testament, in the law, Leviticus. And he also knew that animal sacrifices could be read about all through the Old Testament, because these blood sacrifices, these offerings, acted as a temporary covering for the sin of the people. We read this in Exodus 9:38. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other you shall offer at twilight. John the Baptist knew about these sacrifices. He knew that lambs were sacrificed every day. He also knew the Jewish laws concerning some of the holidays, such as Passover, where a lamb was slaughtered. Many lambs were slaughtered. And the reason for that was they were remembering their time in slavery in Egypt when God delivered them. And how God delivered them from slavery after 430 years is that God said to the people, get a lamb, slaughter it, take the blood, and put it on the doorpost. And when the angel of death flies over, because the angel of death was sent to destroy the firstborn of Egypt, or the firstborn of anybody that wasn't covered by the blood, the angel of death would pass over those homes that had blood on the door. So every year, the Israelites would observe the Passover, which would mean there was a pilgrimage from all over Israel and outside of Israel. And they would come to Jerusalem to celebrate, and they would have lambs that were sacrificed. So John knew, John the Baptist knew about the lamb sacrifices, the holidays, especially the Passover. John knew that God's way of forgiving sin had to occur through the blood of the lamb, or the lamb was a substitute for the individual. The lamb would suffer the penalty of death for the person's sins. So if I wanted to get cleansed from my sin, I would get a lamb, spotless lamb, flawless, and I would take it to the temple, I would take it to the priest, but before the priest got the lamb, I would slit his throat. The blood would then be taken. The lamb would be taken to the altar. The blood put on the altar. And that was how my sins were paid for. I didn't have to pay for my sins because the lamb was my substitute. John knew all about this. He knew what the prophet said about the Messiah being the lamb. He knew Isaiah 53. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. He's referring here to Messiah. And no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ was going to make, the Lamb of God. And just as the blood of the lambs in the Old Testament covered the sins of the people so that the people would not be punished, Jesus Christ shed his blood. He gave his life so that we would not suffer damnation for our sin. He was our substitute. He took our place, and he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice to appease the anger of God and to satisfy the justice of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's how the Lamb did that. Everything pointed to Jesus Christ being the Lamb. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. That's the prophet Isaiah. John the Baptist knew all this. So as he sees this man walking down the road, the Holy Spirit opens his eyes to understand, and he puts it all together. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God because he knew that Jesus was the perfect and ultimate sacrifice for sin. In fact, the whole Old Testament sacrificial system established by God set the stage for the coming of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of lambs played a very important role in Jewish religious life and sacrificial system. As I said, daily sacrifices required that a lamb, spotless, without any defect, be sacrificed in the morning and in the evening. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was perfect, spotless. He himself was the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. So whereas the Jewish sacrificial system had to repeat lamb sacrifices each day, every day of the year, Jesus sacrificed his life once for all. He was the perfect priest. Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, the end of history. But his sacrifice was perfect. And that's how the Lamb of God could take away the sins of the world. On the hills about 6 miles south of Jerusalem lay an area called, with a town called Bethlehem. It was there on those hills sheep grazed. Shepherds kept watch, and the newborn lambs were chosen and set apart. There were a lot of lambs, a lot of flocks of sheep throughout Israel, many, many shepherds. But near Bethlehem, in the hills surrounding it, were a distinct group of sheep. These were the sheep that were used specifically for sacrifices in the temple. They had to be spotless, without defect. These sheep, these lambs, were birthed in the spring. It's called the lambing season. And that helps us to understand that Christmas was not December 25th. That date came about in the 3rd, 4th century. In fact, the early church didn't even celebrate Christ's birth. That came later. But the lambing season is significant because Christ most likely was born during that time, which would be around April. That should not disrupt any of our Christmas celebrations. Because the fact of it is that Jesus was born at the time that other lambs were born. When you study some of the extra-biblical literature and the customs of Judaism, you find out that these lambs were set apart around the hillsides of Bethlehem. And they were the ones that were used for sacrifices. It's no coincidence that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was also born in the same town as these sacrificial lambs. In fact, the place of Jesus' birth was prophesied by Micah, the prophet, about 700 years before it came to pass. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Just as the lambs born in the hills around Bethlehem were destined to be offered as a sacrifice, so too was the most important lamb, Jesus Christ. The royal lambs who were handpicked and approved by their shepherds were symbolic of the royal Lamb of God who was chosen by the Father, approved as the only one worthy to give his life to save the world from its sins. The most fitting birthplace for the Son of God, for the Lamb of God, was Bethlehem, where the sacrificial animals or lambs were raised. The shepherds who kept the royal flocks of Bethlehem weren't your ordinary shepherds. They too were special and set apart for the task. They were called rabbinical shepherds, shepherd priests. And they were trained to be able to give birth to these lambs and to be able to inspect them to make sure that the lambs were without blemish, without any defect. And after a lamb was born, these shepherds would take and wrap them in swaddling cloths to protect them, to keep them unspotted. The shepherds raised the spotless lambs. So when that announcement came at night about a baby being born in Bethlehem, they knew exactly the significance of that, and they knew exactly where to go. Why? Because they're familiar with that area from raising their sheep. When it comes to the birth of Jesus, the Bible isn't specific in telling us exactly where Jesus was born. Scripture does not say that he was born in a backyard stable, or in an inn that was full, or in a cave where a few donkeys were housed. The Bible says nothing about the exact location of Christ's birth. There's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of things added over the years that have become part of the Christmas celebration, but they aren't founded in Scripture, which has led to a lot of theories. There's a very interesting theory I came across based on Scripture partially about where Jesus was born. He was born. One theory is that he was born in a guest house of a relative, because they had the house, and underneath the house was a room where animals were stored. And when the census was being taken, all of the rooms, the guest rooms, were filled. So the only thing available was this room downstairs where the animals have been kept. That's one theory. Another theory that has some foundation to the prophet Micah is a tower, the Migdal Eder, which is a tower just on the outside of Bethlehem, where the shepherds used to go to look out and see their sheep, and in bad weather and whatnot, to be able to find protection. And at the base of that was an area where lambs were born. It was a sterile environment to keep them from being defiled in any way. Like I said, these are theories, but they're interesting theories based on some of the customs. So we understand that what took place on Christmas in Bethlehem was very significant to the people who lived there, very significant to the shepherds, very significant in why John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The same swaddling clothes that they wrapped the lambs in were the same swaddling cloths that Mary wrapped the Lamb of God in. He was spotless. He was perfect. There was no blemish. The Lamb of God, the perfect, spotless sacrifice, saved us by sacrificing His life so that we would not have to pay the penalty for our sin. The Lamb of God has come to take away our sins. Has He taken away your sins? All right, Jesus came, spotless Lamb of God, sacrificed His life on the cross. He was our substitute. Okay, so how do we make the connection here between what He did and how we can find salvation in Christ? It's not by good works. It's not by paying money. It's not by anything other than faith in the Lord. We're saved by faith alone. Faith in Jesus Christ. It says in the scripture in John 1, 12, but all who did receive Him by faith. Who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Has God brought you here tonight so that your sins can be taken away by the Lamb of God? I said, well, what do I have to do? Well, it's trust in Him. Trust in Him as the Son of God. Trust in Him as the one who took the punishment for your sin. Believe in Him and you're saved. You're saved forever. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? This is what Christmas is all about. A Savior has come for you, for all of us. Because God loves us and wants us to spend eternity in heaven. God wants to be with us. He sent Emmanuel, Jesus, to be with us, God with us, so that we could be with God. Our sin separates us from God. But Jesus made the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way to get to heaven. No other religion works, because no other religion has a Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. So I encourage you, if God is stirring your heart, to let Him continue to do a work in your heart. And trust in Him. Say, well, how do I trust? What do I have to do? An expression of faith is prayer. You call out to God, believing that you are calling to the one who has sent His Son to save you. I'm going to pray, and if you want to join with me, join your heart with my heart, praying to the Lord, for Him to be your Lamb, to take away your sins. Please join me in this prayer.